All right. When will I ever learn, Sherry? Triscuit. Just eat a Triscuit.
I thought we went over that.
It's like, that's the worst thing. That's the first thing they teach you in broadcasting school.
Yeah, I took the Don't Eat a Triscuit class.
I did. It's Sean Kelly, Sherry Ellegar show. That's right. You come along with the ride. You can write to us. My North, that's Vasa. Hang on a second. Maybe I dive into the news and get some of that water in my throat. That'll help. Diving into the news!
Yep. Rinse away.
There we go. Teeny's got nothing to do right now. Come on, Teeny, get ready. Get all those letters. They're texting the Muckleshoot Casino Resort text line at 1-888-973-5476. Oh, welcome. One gets to be letter of the day. Well, it's a sad day for Red Lobster. They've decided they're going to call it quits over there at Red Lobster. They sold the company a couple of years ago to some other big corporation, and now they realize what the problem is. Red Lobster, the all-American casual dining classic, a colossal loss of $11 million in the third quarter. How were they able, what do they think the problem was, Sherry? They kind of, if they had to actually, you know, pin it on one particular thing, what do you think it was?
Well, it's a big problem with endless shrimp. Oh. They had a promotion. Yep, they had a promotion, and it was all you could eat shrimp. Now, you can't take it with you, but you can eat it right there as much as you want. So it was an $11 million loss. Lots of people were on TikTok showing how you can eat, showing off about how much they could actually ingest.
And well, you can take it with you, I mean, until you throw it up in the parking lot. But here's
how much shrimp you need to eat at Red Lobster for their endless shrimp deal to not only break even, but to profit on your short-term investment. And to find out how much shrimp you actually need to eat in order for it to make sense, I'm going to use how much it would cost to make this whole thing at home. So we're going to assume that there's 30 shrimp in the package that I bought for $9.99. The cheddar biscuits that I bought from Target are $5.99. The total spent is $15.98. And we're just going to assume that that price that you're paying is for yourself. The endless shrimp costs $20.
By the way, she starts this with how much you can eat to profit. So profit is she's going to consume it, right? She's going to spend a certain amount of money. And then she's going to do what with it to sell it to somebody? Like, how's she going to make any money? So if you're going to get your $20 worth, she's explaining to you how to cook the whole meal, right? So,
well, yeah, and she's saying to get your money's worth, to break even, it takes a certain amount. But to get more than $20 worth, this is what you can do. Okay. And then she goes over, like, how much the homemade version is and how much the Red Lobster version is.
Okay. Well, anyway, they realized it was just people took advantage of them. And
to
ended
start
up, right?
And assume that there's 6 shrimp in each, you have 18 shrimp on your first order.
Okay, I can't listen to this.
It is it's math, and it's a lot.
It's her voice, right. They were trying to attract a wealthier clientele. They would have the shrimp served in a top hat, but they found that didn't work. People still sort of saw Red Lobster as this place to go. A friend of mine said that she said she got asked out on the date, going to meet the guy for the first time, and when they got in the car and they drove there, they pulled up to Red Lobster, and she's like, huh, first date, Red Lobster. She sat down, took a look at the menu, and said, I'll be right back. And hit your lady's room. Leaves, goes to ladies' room. She says, I come out, I open the giant door of the ladies' room, and I can see him, he's sitting there, he's on his phone, looking at his phone. And she said, and I just whoosh, went right out the door. Left him.
For Red Lobster? I can see Burger King, but Red Lobster? I mean, that's not that bad. Oh. And maybe he couldn't afford it. Maybe that was the best he could do. He thought Red Lobster.
I'm not defending her. I'm just telling you, there's sort of this thing. It's like you don't take somebody to Red Lobster. The lobster wasn't good. You said, really?
No, it's not. We used to call it Red.
Let's play.
All right.
Let's play Sneak Out of the Bathroom with Sherry. You ready?
I'm ready.
It's a fun family-filled game where we find out what restaurant Sherry would sneak out of the bathroom window.
I draw the line? Okay.
Where do you draw the line? Ready?
I'm ready.
Red Lobster.
I'd be fine with Red Lobster. I mean, we used to call it Red Slobster. So I'm not like a big fan, but if somebody thought that was a nice restaurant, I'd be okay with that.
Slobster.
I wouldn't embarrass them and walk out on them. I might not do another date, but I'd certainly give them the dignity to at least finish the meal.
Let's get the music going. How about, what's the name of that panda place?
Panda Express.
Panda Express. Climb out the window or eat the food?
I think that's pretty, that's like in a mall court or like a food court, right? I mean.
Okay.
They have some brick and mortar standalone.
They got brick and mortar, okay. Sherry.
Okay. Yeah, I like that food.
TGIF.
I don't think they exist anymore, but that's totally fine. They have cold beer.
Climbing out of the empty shell of the building that used to be TGIF's. Chili's.
Yeah, Chili's is okay. They're all in
Olive
the
same... Garden.
Olive Garden, I really like because of those breadsticks. Nom 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 nom.
All right, wow, you are.
I'm a pretty cheap date.
You really are.
I love bread. I do, and breadsticks.
All right, unlimited breadsticks.
Right. I mean, how humiliating was that for that poor guy?
I don't know. I guess she just, yeah, you know what? I'm not defending her. She's sort of a snob like that. And I guess she figured, what, are you taking me to Red Lobster on the first date? But to me, the first date's sort of a trying out thing. You don't want to take somebody to some fancy place, you drop 80 bucks or 100 and some bucks, and like, turns out you can't stand her. I thought that's a pretty safe move. You know, you get to put the bib on and get the crackers, and you can talk about lobsters and things. And
right. I don't think that's bad. And, well, if he takes you to Red Lobster in his Maserati, yes, that's a problem because he's got the means to go a little higher. But, okay.
All right. What if he were to roll a corpse into a bank and try to rob it? This was just everybody's whole stories just run through whether Sherry would date the guy or not. A Brazilian woman is in jail after wheeling a corpse into a bank and forcing it to sign on a loan. Wait, Joe, you never explained, how did she force the corpse to sign on the loan?
Well, I mean, she kind of like encouraged him, right, Sherry? She said,
yeah.
Oh, what, are you tired? Just
yes.
Come on.
She took the pen and put it in his hand, and he was in a wheelchair. And then the teller was like, you know, he looks really pale. Are you sure he's okay? And she's like, she says to him, you know, very sweetly, do you want to go back to the hospital? I can take you back there. Okay, just sign this. So she put the pen in his hand and moved his hand and said, you know, here's a signature. And then they called the police and womp womp.
I saw a photo of it. That guy definitely looked like he was not present and kind of tipped over to one side.
Right.
And yeah, and she's rolling that guy in there. Okay, you got to give her credit. Don't we have to give her credit for this?
Yes.
A little bit, yeah.
And who was the man trying to make the withdrawal?
I think it was her uncle. And she did not have privileges on his account, and they figured he died. They had a limited amount of time till like his limbs fell off to get him into the bank. And so they wanted to.
And so they're sitting around. So he passes away. It's like, where's Uncle Dexter? He's in the other room. Okay, yeah. All right. And then she either comes up with this plan on her own, or she tells her other relatives, look, let's just get him in a wheelchair. We'll just take him down there, right? He's not at room temperature yet. And he wanted us to have the money anyway. So this is just a formality at this point. Let's find a wheelchair and then roll him on in there. Yeah. Somebody had to help her. She didn't pull him out of the deathbed and put him in the wheelchair herself. You know, he would have wanted it this way. He was just bad about paperwork.
Well, and I think my guess is that they had planned to do this all along while he was alive to get him to sign this stuff over, and he
just
died
easier
suddenly.
When he's dead. Yeah, it's just easier when he's dead.
Yeah, everything is.
All right, let me ask you this. You go to Red Lobster, and the guy is dead in a wheelchair. Do you still go for all the shrimp while you're there with him?
Did he die at Red Lobster, or was he dead when he picked me up? Because I've had both experiences.
He met you there. He wasn't going to eat much. That's the other thing.
Oh, okay.
All right. Thank you, Sherry. Thank you for that one. All right. The small Norwegian village where dying is illegal. Oh, I've seen this. Yes, the small Norwegian village where you can't die there. What do? They roll you out of town. If they know that you're close to death, I think they ship you somewhere else. I think they send you over to a bank.
Yeah, this is a town between Norway and the North Pole. And the temperatures are so cold there in the winter that bodies don't decompose. So illnesses or viruses or things that people have died of can stay alive in the body and then keep spreading it. So if you're close to death, they put you on a plane and they take you to Norway to die.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not allowed to die there, but you can go to Norway and die, or you can be cremated there and they will bury the ashes.
Well, as long as everybody's in agreement that that's the case, then just they're not making exceptions for certain people. That everybody knows, hey, it looks like you're pretty close to going, so here comes the plane. You know, oh, and by the way, you're back in coach. Off you go. Yeah. My father told me this story, and I could never able to find it, that he said there was some village somewhere. That was true or not. That you had big rocks in the village, and if you could pick up the rock and carry it a certain distance, you were okay. But then as you got older, they would have the rocks, and the rocks got smaller. If you weren't able to pick up the rock and move the rock, you just sort of knew, well, you're no help to the rest of the tribe. So they'd give you a little bag of rice or maybe some shrimp, all you can eat or whatever, and then they just sort of, and some water, and then you just went out into the woods or into the jungle where you died. But it was this sort of thing of like, if you can't help to support the tribe by picking up the last rock, the smallest of the rocks, then, you know, off you went. And I was like, oh, that's, he told me that a long time ago. So I used to search for that thing constantly on the internet, like tribe, small rock, you know, into the woods. Couldn't find it anywhere, but it made this idea. I don't know where you got the idea from or the story that everybody's in it. Once you can no longer support or help out, then off you go.
Yeah,
and I like that story, but then I've told it on the air a couple of times, and people are like, that's just people look it up. There's no place like that.
In Italy, there's a place where only 500 people live there, and most people are over 65. You are forbidden to get ill, and dying is prohibited. You have to go through health checks all the time. And if you get sick, you get booted because it's such a small population that you're going to infect everybody. And they don't want you dying there either.
Right. So again, if you opened a funeral home, there was not a lot of business for you there. I get it. Okay.
Probably not. But it's the same kind of concept where if you're going to bring down the group, you got to go.
Right. Yeah, because everybody's kind of in it for themselves, or at least you're all in it there. You need everybody's doing their part. So nobody wants to get involved with the blackout. The blackout challenge is going again. This is so dumb. Although Joe admitted in the pre-show meeting that he used to do this game. Gee whiz, Joe.
This is another social media craze that could have dire consequences. The middle school in South Orange had two recent incidents in which kids held their breath to the point they passed out. It's called the blackout challenge, which has become popularized on TikTok.
Yeah, it's a scary thing that, you know, they're probably doing it in a group. The group might be encouraging them, you know. I'm sure it's a whole peer pressure thing, and they don't know the repercussions.
The school principal sent a notification to parents to encourage them to discuss the dangers of participating in the blackout challenge.
We really need our families to really talk with our students, talk with their children just about the these challenges that are out there and how they are not safe, that they are not healthy.
There have been deaths reported as a result of kids involved in the challenge. The school in South Orange is trying to get word out about the dangers before there is a tragedy.
This incident has raised the alarm bells. We're going to look into what things we need to do to be more proactive, but it's definitely something that is not going to be pushed to the side.
Yeah, the blackout challenge actually has been around for quite some time on social media.
Do you think this reporter should demonstrate it to people so that people know what it is?
Well, he already sounds like he's got one headphone, you know, up to his ear, and he's doing like this. Oh, the humanity. Look at the he just kind of got that old school. Ah, and there they are blacking out. No. What could happen if you black? I mean, if you black out, as long as
Joe
you're
will
your
tell
head,
you.
Oh yeah, tell
Joe.
Me.
Go ahead, Joe. You Why'd just, you do it, and how do you do it?
When we were Not doing it in junior high, yes. you just take a book, like a paperback book, and you blow into the pages a bunch of times just to get yourself really lightheaded, and then you kind of like compress your neck a little bit, and the next thing you know, you're waking up on the ground, and you're like, wow, that was. That was kind of interesting.
What, you compress your neck like you strangle yourself?
No, yeah, you're cutting off the carotid artery on the right side.
Exactly.
Yeah. The same thing they do in MMA and fighting when they put you into a hold, right? Rear naked choke, and then you see the guy goes out. Now, he can't tap out because he's unconscious, but you're just shutting off the blood flow to the head.
Has had some other names, but authorities here say they're going to try to do everything they can to encourage parents to talk to their kids before anything tragic occurs. That is the latest live from South Orange, New Jersey. Anthony Johnson, Channel 7 Eyewitness News.
And there they are, blacking out. Oh, no.
Sherry, come on now.
What?
With some sympathy. But Joe, when you pass out, your head would hit the table, right?
No, we don't. You'd always be, we'd be standing up against the wall, so you'd kind of slide down the wall. Then you wake up, and all your friends are laughing, and everybody take turns.
And what is fun about this?
I don't know. I guess it was like you're kind of like you wake up like a little high feeling. You know, you're just kind of confused.
Well, yeah,
and you
that
have
would
like a
be
dream.
The oxygen. That would be the oxygen not being in your brain.
It is a weird nap. Having been choked out a couple of times. It is a weird
nap. Yeah, you have like a crazy dream, and then all of a sudden you realize you've been out for 2 seconds, but it feels like it's been a long time. I can't justify it, but we were ahead of our time, apparently. If only we had TikTok.
Yeah, you were. Yes, you were doing stuff like that way ahead of everybody else. All right, don't do that, everybody. Don't do it. Bad idea. All right, Teeny, get ready. Oh, golly. She's out meeting people again, sure, because it's Friday coming up, and it's going to be trying to get the Employee of the Week. Nine? Is it not? Sure, Teeny, is it nine? Nine times
the answer
in a row.
Is yes.
Employee of the Week. Wilcox Family Farm Eggs, the best egg you can buy anywhere around. Fresh and good. Sherry and I enjoy them hard-boiled with salt. Sherry, you go, no salt? I can't remember how you enjoy your Wilcox
eggs. Oh,
no,
definitely salt.
All right, you like salt on there. Okay, good. This woman is known as the Oracle of Wall Street. She's been wrong more times than she's been right, but it doesn't matter. People are like, ooh, Meredith has something to say. She is the, she's come up with this new thing. She says sexless men could tank the housing market. She missed on a bunch of others, and it's one of these things. It's weird. People make predictions. They're never held accountable for the ones they get wrong. Every once in a while, they have to get one right or something. But she still gets people to come to her, and she just makes predictions. So how does she think that this is going to cause a huge problem in the housing market, these sexless men, Sherry?
Well, right now, the problem is you have high demand and low supply. So there are people out there that are looking for homes, but nobody's moving because of the interest rates. Where are they going to go? All of those reasons.
Right.
Eventually, though, these men that are between the ages of 25 and 34, of which there are 20% of that demographic living at home with their parents, eventually the parents are going to move up and out. They're going to downsize. They're going to go someplace else or to a retirement community. And these guys aren't going to have the money to buy that house from them, or they don't need a big house. So that's when the supply is going to grow, because so many of these situations exist. She says that these men are now disinterested in any kind of a family. They really don't care about even having a relationship. And she attributes this to the increased porn consumption, rise in hookup apps, and just the fact that, you know, they don't have the money. There's no incentive for them to get on with it and start a family, because they've got all these other things available to them and none of the money to start a different process.
Okay. So we know a couple of things. We know that they being the housing industry, needs to build, I think they said they're 10 to 12 years behind in order to build affordable homes. And part of the problem is zoning in most red or blue states and blue cities, you have very restrictive areas that you can actually build homes. Seattle loves the idea of affordable housing as long as it's not next to my $2 million bungalow that I bought in 1985. Can't put the duplex in there. But you were way behind. We don't have enough houses that could be built that are affordable for people, plus the mortgage rates are too high, and nobody could get into that first home. So somebody's got a house, and the mom and dad rent it, and they're paying on it. They don't want this guy, who she's describing as sitting around looking at porn in his parents' basement or something in the 30s, can never afford the home, so the parents will put the house on the market. Homes will go on the market, and people will buy into that one. As they buy into that house, let's assume that the person is selling the house to move up to buy the house and hopefully a good bleaching of the basement and get rid of all that furniture's down there. That goes out. So now the house that they were in becomes available. They're moving up to a bigger home that they will be able to afford. She's saying the market is just going to tank, that the residential market goes down, maybe it drops a little bit. And she's saying because these guys, 20% of the population, is not interested in buying a home. They have to live somewhere.
Right. But there's going to be a glut of larger homes as these people, as these men's parents move up and out to smaller things. She said the housing market could drop up to 30% on this phenomenon.
Okay. Hmm. Okay. Well, she's been wrong on other things. We'll see. I've talked to a guy on Monday or Tuesday at this thing in New York, and he's saying the thing you got to watch is the commercial. The trillions and trillions of dollars as these leases that are 5 years and 7 year leases come up. And people, the commercial business, the businesses just are not taking, you know, large swaths of great big buildings in the city. He said those things, that's where the money is. And that is, he said, once that thing tips, look out. Because there's no way to convert that property into homes. It's way too expensive to convert. They're trying to do that in Seattle. Remember, we talked about that about six months ago. They wanted people to come in and say, hey, how could you switch this over? The problem is the cost of making sure that you can put an apartment in where the windows aren't set up for it and the HVAC system isn't right for it. It's way too expensive to convert. So this guy was saying there's a lot of money hanging out there with these commercial properties and who's coming into the city to take them back up again. And what do? You can't write them off, can't do anything with it. He said that's a bigger story than, you know, the idea of homes becoming available. If the prices drop a little bit, more people get into the homes. It does stimulate the economy because they buy new furniture. God knows you don't want to be sitting on the couch at that gross guy was sitting on for years on end surfing porn, right? Oof, huh?
No thanks.
Get out the black light. Look out.
Ugh.
Wasn't it you that told me don't buy the black light? And I bought it when I had the VRBO of the cabin. You said don't do that.
I probably advised you that it would be a little overwhelming when you saw what went on, but
it was.
I know you bought it anyway.
I bought it anyway. Like, why do I even bother talking to you? You don't listen. You never listen. So I went in, turned the lights off, turned the black light on. I had my video camera, and I was going to videotape. And it was so unbelievably disgusting. I thought,
But
put it on TV.
What does the black light pick up other than things we've just talked about? What is
protein? Protein. Uh-huh. It can be feces. Urine.
Oh. And does it all show up as these
feces,
white?
You got your urine, you got your semen, you got your blood. All right? Those are your four biggies. All right?
Do they all show up as white spots, or what do they still show up as?
Yeah, they all show up as they show up on the black light. It shows up.
Like a crime scene, Sherry.
Like a crime scene, Sherry.
Well, blood would be luminol.
So you walk in, you turn the black light on, you're like, if you're thinking, okay, of those four, you're like, oh, God, I just hope it's not.
Hard to pick on that one, but I'm going to go.
Let's play the music. Here we go. Sherry, you've checked in. You've gone on your date to Red Lobster.
Mm-hmm. That's great. I ate a lot of shrimp.
A lot of shrimp. But you can't drive home because you're not feeling well for some strange reason. And you check into a hotel, and they do offer you a black light. You go into the room, turn the lights off, and all over the place, the light switch, on the phone, against the headboard, and the television set. It's showing up with either urine, feces, semen, or blood. Which one do you hope it's not? You only have one choice.
I'm gonna go with
audience with has already predicted and locked in what they thought you'd say. So here we go.
I'm going to say feces. That would be my final answer.
All right. That's right. Audience thought you would say blood. Blood. They thought you would go blood.
It doesn't. All right. It's not as bad as feces.
All right. Thanks, Sherry. Appreciate that. Thanks for playing.
Why do I think we'll hear that again?
Yeah. All right. You know, don't you ever wonder, like, if you could have a camera on the people that are watching this show or listening to this, like, at what point are they like, I'm out. I'm going over the what's the name of that place? The boys' room? What's the name of those shows that are on right now?
The men's room?
Yeah. That'd be no better over there.
No. But I have a feeling that happened several times during the show, not just once. I think it's an
your
ongoing
fault.
Reaction.
You're driving them away, Sherry. Thank you, Pendergast Law. Let's get that mailman. Teeny, come on now. Sherry, she's running around in her little weird bikini trying to.
I'm the mailman. As you can see, I'm the mailman. Don't nobody mess with me. I'm the mailman.
No mess.
Not as bad as
no mess.
I'm the mailman. Bring the mail.
Thank you. Get the letter of the day first. Take care of all the rest. Sherry.
Okay, off topic, 360. Wow, I knew John was talented, but the saw sound was pretty amazing.
You know, I don't even remember the sounds I make. That's what I do. I just do things. That's what I do. I don't make a saw sound. Betty, 425. John, your beard looks fantastic. Betty, thank you. Thank you. Thanks for enjoying my beard. Here's my beard rubbing on the microphone.
Do the sod.
8 minutes of that. Okay, here we go. Keep going.
All right. David in Moses Lake. Sherry, I love it when you make fun of people. Well, that's constant. You are hilarious. Huge hugs. Thank you, David.
And more love coming from Andrea in Marysville on Corpse at the Red Lobster. Quote, was he dead when he picked me up? Close quote. Sherry, that was the funniest thing I've ever heard. You remember that?
Thank you, Andrea.
It was right after I made the saw sound. Yeah.
Yeah.
The show's been jam-packed with entertainment and news.
That's right.
All right.
Blackout Challenge, Jeff in Port Angeles says, hey, the Blackout game has been around for a long time. We used to play it in 7th and 8th grade in 1968 and 69. And usually someone would wake up on the floor with a head cracked. Semper Fi, America.
Thank you, Jeff. 206, I had no idea why, but that blackout challenge spread through my Seattle elementary school in the late 80s. Frightening to look back on it now.
There they are, blacking out. Oh, no.
Bobby in Tacoma says, rumor was you couldn't do it yourself. That was a lie. I did it to myself and smashed my mom's coffee table. Thank God we didn't have smartphones in the 90s.
Yes, smashing yourself on the coffee table. Bikini Breezes, this is from Chick-a-Latte in Seattle. Just to clarify, us Bikini Breezes don't show our stuff. We have Instagram and OnlyFans pages we provide to our coffee customers. We write our info on the cups. And yes, we do pay taxes. Also, FYI, the new steamy espresso shots up on Evergreen. Yeah, she's pretty much nude. How are we supposed to compete with that, I ask you?
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
Be pretty much nude, and then you're fine.
pretty much nude.
Andrew in the 509 says, do they sell 3-packs of booby tassels?
That was you, Sherry. You get to buy two and then throw one away. 425, come on. The girl's got to be able to espresso herself. That's good.
Yeah.
Good for you, 425. There you go. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Julie B says, I'd go buy coffee from a guy in a Speedo.
Julie B, you would not.
Julie. A lot of variables there.
Yeah,
be careful you
would
what
not.
You wish for.
Yeah, Julie. 206, I used to own a massage spa in Bellevue, Washington. 10 years ago, we used to send our undercover cops in all the time to entrap our therapist. There was even a time when the Bellevue Police Department had their own massage unit to patrol all the massage locations.
Nice work if you can get it. Porch Pirates, Mike in Portland says, there's nothing better than a vigilante AI security camera. Sheesh, what could possibly go wrong?
Yes. Teeny?
And now it's time for the letter of the day.
Letter of the day. Sherry, here we go.
Okay, this is on the with 425 on the Instagram voice guy telling you how to eat corn on the cob. Hey, corn on the cob is no joke. My grandma had dentures, but she didn't like them. After grandpa died in 1964, she tried his teeth. She ended up preferring his bottom set as her own uppers. She used them until she passed. No bottom teeth, just grandpa's bottom teeth in her upper mouth. She never complained, just cut the kernels off the cob as needed.
It's the Instagram guys.
Weird.
So weird. Okay. Did we dare do another hour?
Weird.
Yeah. Because we're in a kooky mood. Could be dangerous.
That's all she wrote. That's
all she wrote. All right. Didn't write no more. Let's see what happens.
Okay.
Thank you, Teeny. Oh, Teeny, don't. I don't want to see that. Teeny, don't.